Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Welcome to Sportsman of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Whatley. Trevin Stolfus is in with me today. Going to be doing some segments with me a little bit later in the show, but I asked Trevin to join me this morning and this afternoon, actually, and talk about some things. And Trevin's been on some great hunts, so we're going to be talking with him about his outdoor experiences here of late, as well as Outback Outdoors, which you can catch that on the Sportsman's Channel. But first of all, I am very, very excited for our first guest today. We are going to go all the way to New Zealand, and we are looking forward to the International Sportsman's Expo. By the way, that will be January the 12th through the 15th at the Colorado Convention Center, and we'll give you more details on that, and we are going to be giving away some tickets for that as well. But let's go to the phones. We've got Jim Gibson with us from New Zealand Safaris. Jim, how are you today?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Scott.
Well, it is great to have you with us. And I tell you, I have always thought about New Zealand. And looking at your website, which, by the way, is NewZealandSafaris.com, I am ready to get there. But it may be next year before I can do it, just time and budget a little bit. But I am looking forward to it. And we are certainly looking forward to having you here in Denver at the International Sportsman's Expo. But we can talk about that a little bit later in our segment. So, tell us just a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in having New Zealand Safaris.
Oh, well, Scott, like probably many of your listeners, you know, pretty, it'd be fair to say I'm a pretty avid hunter. And, well, kind of, it's a bit of a funny story, but I mean, I grew up hunting here and, you know, since a young fella. And to be honest, Scott, I saw a lot of my buddies getting married and they weren't allowed to go hunting with me. You know, and we'd be out eggs and deer and, you know, all sorts of things. So I thought, you know what, I want to keep hunting. I love hunting. I love being out in those hills and the, you know, the comradeship and that. And so I thought, guiding, you know, and I didn't know anything about it. So I kind of did a bit of an apprenticeship, you know, long story short, did a bit of an apprenticeship. And 10 years later, you know, I own New Zealand Safaris now, so that's sort of how I got into it, Scott. So
wow.
I'm still out there hunting, all right.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about, you know, when people come over here for the first time, what are some of the things that you hear from clients just about being in New Zealand and in Zealand and hunting with you when they're over there for the first time?
Well, you know, Scott, I mean, the game, you know, because they're so different than many people have hunted, is obviously, for the hunters in particular, is a big thing. But what also is very important in New Zealand is our scenery and the people, you know. It's a real different lifestyle down here, Scott, especially in the South Island. And a lot of comments that I get, you know, New Zealand's like the US was back in sort of the 1970s sort of thing, which, you know, I kind of take that as a compliment. It's a pretty, you know, relaxed lifestyle down here and that. So it's everything, including the game. You know, the people are pretty easygoing and the scenery is pretty amazing. You know, we've got glaciers. You know, you can see glaciers 20 minutes from the lodge here.
Wow.
So it's pretty. And not a lot of travel time, Scott. You know, like all my hunting around here in the area, the furthest you travel from the lodge is about 40 minutes. So, you know, you're not sort of spending a lot of time traveling and then, you know, you got properties that they can have red stag, you know, down in the river valleys and tar up a bit higher. So when you're hunting, you're not typically just sort of seeing one animal, you know, potentially you could
sure.
see, you know, two. So it's quite neat, you know. So it's the whole thing combined, you know, that people really enjoy, and I enjoy the people, and it's that whole experience, I believe.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, our guest is Jim Gibson New Zealand Safaris is the company. NewZealandSafaris.com is their website. Once again, you can meet Jim at the 2017 International Sportsman's Expo. Their booth will be 2946. We'll be there as well with our Sportsman of Colorado booth, and we are looking forward to having Jim there. Now, what I guess the Red Stag seems to be what, you know, had caught my eye just looking at your website and different things. But talk about some of the other species over there that people love to come over and hunt with you.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, the Red Stag is probably, from a hunting perspective, what New Zealand's really famous for. But not too far behind it, especially for New Zealand safaris, is the bull tar. You know, an amazing animal. Originally, they were from, well, they still are from the Himalayas in Nepal, and they were gifted to back in the 1800s. So the bull tar is probably not far behind the red stag. And then you've got your alpine chamois, your fallow bucks, your ram, your goat. Then you've got your Indian sika, sika, and rusa deer, your wallaby, your small varmints, your ducks. You know, your geese. We have got whitetail and elk here also. So there's quite, you know, there's quite a diverse range of game that a lot of people are quite surprised just how many animals we have here, including birds.
Right. Now, how do you work out, is it best for people just, of course, we hope everyone will come and see you here in Denver at the International Sportsman's Expo, but if people contact you through your website, NewZealandSafaris.com, do they just kind of give you an idea of the different game they want to hunt, and you just kind of work out those packages on an individual basis?
Yeah, that's right, Scott. You know, everyone's different and like to do different things, and that's the neat part about it. So,
sure.
You know, it's a matter of communicating, and I personally handle it all myself, and I like to also give my clients a call, and we just work through. You know, it comes down to three things, I think. It's obviously the budget that you can allow, you know, the animals that you'd like to hunt, and how many days that would you like to hunt. And also, a lot of people go sightseeing after the hunt. So I just work through what each person wants to do and bring in their wives and their kids. And, you know, and we just work through it and tailor that hunt to each individual sort of group or people.
Well, that's a great way to do it, that you're flexible like that, because, like I say, everybody is different on what they want to do. Some people may want to hunt a few days, then sightsee a few days, and so it's great to be able to do that. Now, what about, you know, I think people always, I just think of all the things people ask me when we've hunted over in different countries and all about getting the trophies back and, you know, if they want to get them mounted and different things like that. So what do you suggest? I mean, do you suggest doing taxidermy work over there and getting it shipped back, or how do you go about that?
Look, Scott, that's, again, personal preference. I would say probably 70 to 80% of my clients get it expedited back to their you know, own town or their own taxidermist they have.
Okay.
To be honest, I probably think it is cheaper. So the process of that over here is, you know, after we've shot the animal, you know, and taken photos and that, we skin out the animal. I then put it in the freezer and tag it. And once we've finished that hunt, I head down the road to the taxidermist, who's only 30 minutes away. And then from there, he takes the client's details. He salts the skins and dries them, crates them, and sends them back to the US. So from the time the animal's shot to the time it arrives, it's usually about 3 months. So it's a pretty quick turnaround.
Wow.
As far as expedited. Yeah.
Okay, great. Again, if you're just joining us, our guest is Jim Gibson, New Zealand Safaris. You can check out their website at NewZealandSafaris.com. Again, he will be at the International Sportsman's Expo here in Denver, January 12th through the 15th, and that's booth number 2946. And I'll tell you what, you know, certainly not going to lock Jim into anything, but if you'll mention you heard him on our show, I promise you he'll do something a little extra special for you. Now, what caliber of rifle do you recommend? I mean, do you have kind of a minimum caliber because you don't know the range you're shooting? Or let's talk about the firearm a little bit and then transporting it over there too.
Okay, Scott, I'll start with the importation, really easy to get firearms into New Zealand. The only thing that we're not allowed to bring into New Zealand are pistols and military-style weapons.
Okay.
But the rest, no problem at all. So I'll send you out the online hunting form to fill out, and you just fill that out, you know, on the computer. Send it sort of about 2 or 3 weeks before you come over. You bring 25 New Zealand dollars with you. You'll get into customs in typically Auckland, hand over the $25. The police there will have a quick talk to you, and that's it. And on the way out with your firearm, they don't check your gun at all. So it's really easy, wow. You know, bringing firearms in compared to the rest of the world. As far as caliber, Scott, you know, what I tell a lot of clients is what do you shoot best?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If you want to bring that one you like shooting, you know, I'd rather you bring one you're comfortable with rather than one that's got a lot of recoil and you just don't know, you know.
Yep, I've seen that.
To be honest, you know, when you start talking stag and tar, you know, they're pretty big animals, you know, kind of talking similar to that of a you know, an elk and a mountain goat, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So caliber-wise, you know, everyone's got their own favourite caliber, Scott, and you know, personally, I've got my own firearms here. A lot of clients that are travelling don't like to bring their own gun, so I've got a couple of 7mm magnums.
Yeah.
I think they're a great caliber on the bigger game. I've also got smaller guns for, you know, your smaller game. But, I mean, that 7mm mag is a really nice caliber to use. And the good thing over here, Scott, is we can buy suppressors over the counter. So I have a lot of my guns suppressed. And
wow.
That means that really quiet. There's no noise travel down the valley when that gunshot goes off. You know, animals don't get as spooky. And that recoil, you know, my daughter, who's 9 years old, can shoot that 7mm magnum, and wives and other kids can shoot it. So that's the beauty about, you know, those suppressors. They're just really nice to use. So
no, I tell you, I just hunted with one the first time just a few weeks ago. We did a hog hunt down in Texas, and I had a 308 with a suppressor, and I'm telling you, it is amazing. And so hopefully with our election going the way it did, our suppressors will be a little bit easier to get here too.
Yeah, I hear you, Scott. That's right. No, they're really good to use. Look, in caliber, whatever you feel comfortable with, you know, you probably want something around, you know, 6.5 or bigger.
Sure.
But you know what, Scott, whatever you shoot best, mate.
Right. Well, I tell you what, we're going to try to do this one more time with you, Jim, before you come here. But we're certainly going to be promoting your appearance here in Denver for the International Sportsman's Expo. And we will look forward to seeing you there. And then really looking forward to getting over there and hunting with you as well.
Hey, that's great, Scott. And I appreciate you giving me time to talk. And I look forward to meeting all the hunters there coming to the Sportsman Expo. And, you know, sitting down and talking about what's important to their hunt.
Absolutely. This is Jim Gibson, New Zealand Safaris. Check out their website, newzealandsafaris.com. Again, the International Sportsman's Expo, they will have a booth there. That's January 12th through the 15th. That booth number is 2946. We've got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Have you been in a car wreck? Hurt by the fault of another? Is the insurance company frustrating you? Hi, I'm Kevin Flesh, and my firm, Flesh Law, can help you. Please call me at 303-806-8886. Flesh Law has been helping those affected by accidents for over 20 years. Flesh Law has the experience to help you. We offer a free consultation, and we only get paid when you get your money. Flesh Law will do everything we can to maximize your claim. Find us on the web at Flesh Law Firm, that's F-L-E-S-C-H, lawfirm.com. Or call us, 303-806-8886. I'm Kevin Flesh, and I'll help you get the compensation you deserve. Stop worrying and let us fight for you.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. If you're looking for a genuine hunting, professional outfitting, high-quality game, and great food and accommodations, I highly recommend New Zealand Safaris. Come and meet Jim Gibson at the 2017 International Sportsman's Expo, January 12th through the 15th. New Zealand Safaris booth is number 2946, and Jim would love to see you there. Check out their website, NewZealandSafaris.com. Again, that's NewZealandSafaris.com.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
John Rush, during the afternoon rush. Weekdays from 3 to 6 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. Again, I want to thank Denny Behrens for being with us. BigGameForever.org. Check out that website and then go on Facebook. Colorado Sportsman, make America great. And also the Big Game Forever Colorado Facebook page. Give them a like there as well. Well, as I mentioned earlier, great to have Trevin Stolfus in studio with us. Trevin is the host of Outback Outdoors. And, of course, Kevin Flesh, our partner here with us on Sportsman of Colorado, is joining us as well. Kevin, you doing all right?
I'm doing great.
Great to see you today. So, Trevin, man.
Man is
Kentucky.
Right. Who would have thunk it? See, I've kind of come back. I got this lingo now.
You sound like you're from the South.
You know, if you would have told me a couple of years ago that I'd be hunting big screaming bulls in Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'd have told you, you've been having some moonshine, brother.
And you were probably having some while you were down.
No, actually, no, I wasn't. But I know what I can handle, and I can't handle that. Wow. Talk about an adventure. I've hunted elk in a lot of the western states. I would not say I'm the best elk caller, but I can call elk pretty decent. And I feel like I'm a decent elk hunter. When I got this tag, I actually, kind of the story behind it is I met a gentleman that works for Revelation Energy. Todd Tackett is his name. Great guy. And I met him at a Cabela's grand opening in Lexington, Kentucky. And in Kentucky, at the opener, you talk about a lot of deer and turkeys and stuff like that. Well, all of a sudden, this guy comes up and starts talking about elk. Well, bells start going off in my head because I love talking about elk. And so we sat and talked a little bit. Turns out he works with Revelation Energy, and they get some landowner tax because they have quite a bit of reclaimed, restored land.
Okay.
I was blown away. What a cool thing to have. You know, oil and gas always gets a black eye. Coal, they always get the negative press. And sitting here talking to this guy, telling me these stories about these big bulls that are living in reclaimed, restored mass acreage of land, and how awesome the population is doing, it piqued my interest right away. Because, you know, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation in 1997, the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Services got together with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and they started releasing elk. And they've done wonderful. And one of the reasons they've done so wonderful is the habitat that they have to live in, which is this reclaimed and restored ground. Great prime forage, great bedding cover, moderate climate. All these things added up to elk doing phenomenal. You wouldn't think that there's rough country.
There is a rough
country in that. And so with all this backstory, I got my brain started working, and turns out his son is 12, going to get his first elk hunt. So I got an opportunity to hunt with his son.
Oh, that's cool.
And 12-year-old boy, and went out there. And I, of course, love bow hunting. I love all hunting, but bow hunting is my passion. I got an opportunity to go and help call for them, call for me, and try and take a great Kentucky bull elk. Well, boy, was I in for a treat. Number one, it was hot. We got there, it's 80, 85 degrees. Ah, but there's a twist, 65% humidity. So it is hot.
Hot.
I mean, you can't get away from it. And, of course, we camped out, so you try taking a nap at 1 in the afternoon when it's 85 degrees with 60% humidity, and you might as well be in a sauna. But what struck me right away was my inability to move around. The elk were, I got them bugling a little bit. Here in Colorado, we have oak brush. You guys all know what oak brush is.
Right.
It's thick and nasty, and it's nothing. I missed, when I was over there, I was missing oak brush because they have autumn olives, but around the autumn olives, they have briar patches. And it's, you've picked raspberries. You know the briars that the raspberries grow on.
Yep.
Well, this is a different type of briar, but it's got the same type of thorns. And so you turn around and you have a bull bugle and you go, let's go. Get the wind right. And you can't do it. Oh, you can. Oh, and I tried. But it just rips you up. And the first night I had this bull bugling, and I looked at the granddad's name was Mike, and then Todd, of course, and then the son is Landon. And I look at the three of them, and I say, hey, let's go. And all of their eyes are about this big around. I mean, they're as big as saucers, and they look at me like, what? And off I headed toward that bugle. Well, I called that bull in to within 15 yards, and we never laid eyes on him. That's how thick it was.
Wow.
He's screaming. I got him so worked up. I handed Mike, who's the grandfather, I handed him a Montana decoy, and I said, you come back with me. Now, I want you to flash this when I call, when he comes around, and you know, we can see him. Show him that decoy. Give him something to look at. And I was trying to get him to step out of this thicket so Landon would have a 15-yard shot with a crossbow.
Wow.
We never saw him. It was so thick, he couldn't get to us. We couldn't get to him. How do you kill elk with a bow that way? It's so the funny thing about it is at the end it gets dark. I say, let's back out of here. We don't want to blow that bull out of here. He was, you know, it sounded from what I could tell like at least a mature bull. Mm-hmm. We start to back out. Well, now we're in the middle. It's dark, number one. We're in the middle of a thicket. You know how seeing where you're at, you know. And Mike's going, I thought that bull was going to come and try and breed me because he's holding the decoy, right? So that was my first introduction that night. It took us an hour and a half to get out of that area because we didn't have the adrenaline of getting into it and stuff like that, and we finally found our way out. Luckily, phones. Phones have you know, you can use your GPS on your phone without having signal.
Sure.
And we were able to find some roads, and we got out, walked around, got the side-by-sides. And so what I learned right away is it doesn't matter if the bulls are bugling. If you can't put yourself in a position to get to them or them to get to you, mm-hmm. forget about it.
Yeah.
So we ended up hunting. We hunted for 10 days. And multiple opportunities. Multiple encounters where we had bulls screaming in under 20 yards, and we never laid eyes on them. Now, we saw them earlier, like we'd see them right at first light in an opening with their cows, and we could tell it was a really good bull, and then we'd move in and try and call them in, and we'd get in this thick stuff. We just couldn't. It was a heck of a learning curve. Heck of a learning curve. So that was kind of, for me, coming from out west, I will never cuss oak brush again. I won't. And I won't cuss 70 degrees with no humidity.
Right.
Or 80 degrees with no humidity. That's pleasant compared to 85 with high humidity.
Right, right.
So that was kind of unique.
So when you got, was it the last day that you got on them?
No, yeah. What happened is we went through bow season, and then rifle season opened.
Okay.
And the last 4 days, Landon had gone back to school. He was going to school, and so me and my cameraman Craig Button were hunting by ourselves, and we'd found a big bull, and we'd been on him 4 days in a row.
Man.
And I called him in four different times, couldn't get an arrow to him, and but I knew where that bull lived. So when it was time for rifle, we actually hunted a different area the first day of rifle. Didn't see anything, hardly. And so that last day, my last day I could be there, they decided, hey, let's go back in where we know we've been in elk. And we dropped into this basin, and it was like a dream. It was like what you dream about. Three, four bulls in this basin bugling. It's the other thing I didn't mention is the fog. It was so foggy in the mornings. There were some mornings it was 10 o'clock till you could see 100 yards.
With all that humidity, it just in those
and it would settle
basins,
in those bottoms right. where those they call them hollers. I'm mm-hmm. learning the yeah. the terminology. Oh, yeah. See, that was my problem. I didn't have enough twang on my cow calls and my bugles that these elk weren't quite sure about me.
Right.
But they'd go into these hollers and they'd do their. I mean, they're just like acting like elk. But this dadgum fog would just hang there till 10 o'clock. Well, then they're headed into bed.
Mm.
And they're in such nasty, thick stuff, and I don't like to hunt elk in their bedding area. So yeah. So that is how we started that last morning.
And I tell you, like I say, just to think of Kentucky and elk, I would have never put that together either.
No.
Yeah.
No. And the characters we met, oh, I mean, you hear about Eastern Kentucky. You know, na 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 na. The old banjo, right?
Yeah, some of the folks that live in that area, that hill country down there, that just alone, not only having the animals, but the people.
Oh, it was such a awesome. I didn't run as much camera on those people as I could have, out of respect. But yeah. Oh, I could have run every time. And the funny thing is, people would just come into camp. We didn't know them from Adam, and they just come in, introduce themselves, and sit down and start talking.
Yeah.
And we were good friends by the time an hour went by.
You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley, along with Kevin Flesh. Trevin Stolfus is our guest today. Outback Outdoors. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that Outback Outdoors and what you can expect on this season with Trevin, and a little bit more about some of his past hunts and then what's coming up for him. We'll be right back. Did you know that about 46% of U.S. households have a dog and 39% have a cat? Studies show that 90% of people treat pets as family members. That's why I chose Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. This is Scott Watley. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, surgical care, or grooming, the team at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has you covered. And with the holidays approaching, I highly recommend their boarding services. Hey, our golden retriever, Roxy Watley, loves it there. Call 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. Or visit LoneTreeVet.com. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is an official registered company of HaystackHelp.com and an A-plus Gold Star member of the Better Business Bureau.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store, family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 66. In Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
Dana Lash, late nights at 10 on KLZ 560 and 100.7 FM. KLZ, the source.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, along with Trevin Stolfus, host of Outback Outdoors. And then, of course, our good buddy Kevin Flesh is with us as well. Trevin just finished up a good hunt in Kentucky, and so we're going to finish up a little bit about that. But before we go back to your story there, Outback Outdoors.
Yes, we're back on. We run on the fourth and first quarter, of course, of Sportsman's Channel. And we just went back on. We're going into our second show of the fourth quarter. It's tonight. It's 8 p.m. our time. on the Sportsman's Channel. And it's tonight we start the first part of a two-parter on Kansas whitetail.
Oh, cool.
So I'm hunting Kansas, a buddy of mine's family farm, the McKenzie family farm, and I'm hunting it with Sean Greathouse, one of the owners of Hamsky Archery Solutions. And so whitetail has become near and dear to my heart because it's something you can do year-long. The preparation, it doesn't just mean you go climbing a stand. You're doing food plots. You're running trail cams.
Yeah.
You're doing all of this stuff trying to provide the best management for the deer that you have. And I'll be honest, attract bigger ones.
Yeah.
So,
and to get to know them. I mean, that's part of the fun, too, during the summer.
Yeah.
As you get to know the animals.
Yeah, you do. And yeah, you do. And you get to understand the age structure, and it's like a chess match. It's a preparation that goes, you know, all year long. So that'll be on tonight. And then of course we've got an exciting season lined out with everything from spot and stock hog hunts in California. We just got a lot of good stuff. So tune in, set your DVRs, 8 p.m. on Friday night on they call it the full draw. Full Draw Friday, right, on the Sportsman's Channel, yeah.
And if you're wondering, because you're hearing this on Saturday, we are actually pre-taping this with Trevin just with our schedules.
You should have watched it last night.
So, you know what, though?
If you feel bad, you can miss it.
They'll re-air it.
Yeah.
Just DVR Outback Outdoors, and you'll get to re-air it.
Yeah. That's what I normally do anyway, is I just put it in because I'm not around when it comes on, and then DVR and watch it whenever. My wife says I'm looking at my inventory when I go down to the basement.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think people, you know, when you see shows, we think, boy, it just must be easy to do all this with camera work and all the different things. There's a lot goes into a 30-minute program that we really don't have any idea of.
No. No, you don't. And when somebody comes, even a lot of other shows don't. There's a lot of great shows out there, but the style that we do, it's labor and camera and video extensive. The time lapses, the things, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to capture an adventure, if you will, in a cinematic way, but you're not tired like we are. You're not wet like we usually are. You're not exhausted from climbing the hills like we are. But yet you get a grasp of that adrenaline and that excitement of why we love what we love.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. Again, that's Outback Outdoors. Friday nights, is it 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock our time.
That's what I thought, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, again, be sure and catch that. Best thing to do is DVR it, really, and you'll catch them all that way. And it's fun just to go back, even when they're out of their season, out of the fourth and first quarter. Great to watch, and great videoing done. And you know what I like about it too, I mean, you guys show the misses. See, Kevin, if we did a show, we wouldn't have any of those.
That, right. Yeah.
Well,
right.
You show the misses, though, but you tell the story,
right.
You know, and it kind of makes you be there, and that's
right.
Cool.
Right. Yeah. And you know, part of the highs, you know, it's not all fun and games. There's some major disappointment that comes with it, and that's what makes when it all works and it comes together so special.
Right. Absolutely. All right, back to Kentucky now. So you finished the archery season. You got into the couple of days of rifle.
And we get this. I've got this big bull. Or I don't got him. See, my lingo has changed since I've gone to Kentucky. I know where he's living. We go back in there that morning, and there's a little bit of fog. But it's just enough. We're still able to see across. We can see there's two or three bulls, and we're looking around. And if you've ever elk hunted with two people, imagine, and you know how hard it is to get on bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine five. Wow. Okay, so I've got Grandpa, Mike. I've got the dad, Todd. And I've got Landon. And then I've got myself. And I've got my cameraman. So there's five of us, and we're trying to do this and capture it all on video. At this time, I've got a camera in my hand. I've become guide/cameraman because I'm trying to get two angles.
Right.
Now that I didn't even bring a rifle to Kentucky. I didn't have orange clothing. I mean, they had to give me all this orange clothing so I could be legal because I wasn't planning on hunting rifle.
Mm-hmm.
I was planning on getting it done in the archery season and coming home. Well, this bull starts bugling, and they're kind of waffling. He's probably a 280, 296 point, which is still a great bull.
Sure.
But this is Kentucky, and we've seen some big ones, and I know there's a big one in here. And
I finally, I'm almost frustrated. I go, if you're not going to shoot him, I'll shoot him, man. He's a beautiful bull. Let's get something down on film so I can make a show out of this, you know? It's hard to do a show where you don't kill anything because really all it does is show you're a bad hunter.
So we're
shuffling around, and we're going to get land in, and maybe they're going to take this bull. They're not sure, and then this other bugle hop sounds off. And we kind of walk around this bush on this trail that we're on, and there he is. It's like the clouds part, and I could hear angels singing, you know.
How'd they go?
No, I'm not doing that again. So he's standing there broadside.
Right.
Well, Landon is 12. He's not a big kid. I mean, he's a normal size 12-year-old. Well, his dad had left the rifle that he was going to shoot out overnight, and the scope had fogged up. He could not see through that scope. Oh. His grandpa had a 7mm mag, a big gun. He's laying it, trying to get it set up, but shoots. He's 2 foot high over this thing, okay? And I'm like, no, we can't lose it. So what I do is they don't have shooting sticks or nothing. And again, I'm not much of a rifle hunter. I didn't bring shooting sticks. So I wouldn't plan on a rifle hunt.
Right.
So I take my camera off, the one I'm running,
right,
off my tripod, and I said, get up here. He leans across my tripod, gets a steady rest, and wham, and then wham, hammers him, drops him.
Wow.
It's as perfect as you could get. And that big bull is down. Well, you know how excited you are right after. I'm, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I look over, and I see another bull. And I said, can I borrow that rifle? So within 2 minutes, within 100 yards, he killed a stud bull.
Yeah.
And I killed a nice bull. He's got a big club on one side and 5 points on the other. Great meat bull, but just a unique bull.
Sure.
And we got it all on film. You always talk about, oh, it's the last morning. It's the last.
Right.
This was the last morning.
Right.
And it's cliche, but it was, what a relief. Because when you hunt that hard for 10 days and then have it all come together, especially with a 12-year-old.
Right, sure.
I was almost in tears. It was amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, and he got to spend all of that time actually hunting and seeing how difficult and what it takes, and then to have this craziness with the rifle and everything else.
Yeah, it was. I think Landon is one of the most composed 12-year-olds I've ever been around.
Hmm.
He was excited, but he never got worked up to where you had to tell him to calm down.
Right, right.
He was just even keel. Just even keel.
Wow.
It was a pleasure to hunt with him.
That's cool. Yeah, you know, you talk about shooting sticks. I had never used a shooting stick in my life till I went to Africa.
Right.
Because, I mean, growing up, you know, you always just, my dad taught me how to lean up against a tree and
right.
use that or get
right.
in a position.
Fence post,
yeah,
or
whatever. And so, but yeah, I'd never used shooting sticks in my life. And once you use them, you do enjoy them. And I mean, it does help you make a.
Right.
A better shot there.
Yeah.
You don't need them in the truck.
Yeah, so yeah. Red doesn't. Yeah.
Red still
Red just hits the electric window and raises his window up and wherever the level he needs to shoot out from. Yeah.
Oh, Red.
So now, so you got the two elk there. So what's coming up now?
Well, with that being behind us, we got a mule deer hunt coming up again. Primarily, bow hunters, so we got a bow hunt in Nebraska for mule deer, and then after that starts our big whitetail run, which is always exciting. A lot of time sitting in a tree. So really what happens is we have to switch in our brains and go from Western hunting to Midwest,
right.
if you want to call it that,
right.
whitetail hunting, where we've done the work. The work's been done. Now we get up in the tree. Now we see if we hung our tree stands, put up our ground blinds in the right spots, if we've patterned our deer correctly, if we got the right wind, all of the strategy comes in, but it's all about your butt in that tree stand and putting hours in, because that's the difference. Whitetail hunting's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
People say, oh, it's easy. You just sit in a tree stand. It's not easy. It's a mental game. And so I have to literally switch, because Western hunting, if there's not elk there, I'll go to the next ridge and find elk.
Right.
Right. You can't do that whitetail hunting.
Sure.
They're there. They're usually within 200 yards of you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to wait. They have to come by within bow range.
Right. Trevin Stolfus, Outback Outdoors. Be sure and catch them Friday nights. What do they call that? Full draw?
Full draw Friday.
Full draw Friday. So be sure and catch that. Best way to DVR it. That way you make sure you won't miss one. You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. We've got to take another short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Have you been in a car wreck? Hurt by the fault of another? Is the insurance company frustrating you? Hi, I'm Kevin Flesh, and my firm, Flesh Law, can help you. Please call me at 303-806-8886. Flesh Law has been helping those affected by accidents for over 20 years. Flesh Law has the experience to help you. We offer a free consultation, and we only get paid when you get your money. Flesh Law will do everything we can to maximize your claim. Find us on the web at Flesh Law Firm, that's F-L-E-S-C-H, lawfirm.com, or call us, 303-806-8886. I'm Kevin Flesh, and I'll help you get the compensation you deserve. Stop worrying and let us fight for you.
If you're looking for a place you're always welcome, let me recommend Kiowa Creek Sporting Club. Hi, this is Scott Watley. Just 20 miles east of Denver, Kiowa Creek has it all. A professionally designed sporting clays course, archery range, and year-round dog training fields. Be sure and leave time to relax in the spacious clubhouse. For all Kiowa Creek Sporting Club has to offer, call 303-644-4627 or check out their website, kiowacreek.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado, and with your one-year membership purchase, you'll receive 100 free sporting clays. Call 303-644-4627. That's 303-644-4627. Kiowa Creek Sporting Club is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you're lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser rifles, Sitka gear, and Night Force optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant, tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and today only receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekday afternoons at 3 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. Again, thank you so much for joining us. If you're just turning on your radio, my name is Scott Watley, along with Kevin Flesh. Our guest today, Trevin Stolfus from Outback Outdoors. Be sure and catch that on Friday nights, 8 p.m. here in Colorado. Best thing to do, set your DVR so you never miss that Full Draw Fridays. And you'll see some great hunts on there and just really great filming, great stories. So look forward to all of that. So, Trevin, you were mentioning in your other segments there you had a 12-year-old and, boy, got a nice bull there in Kentucky. And so kind of wanted to talk about hunting with our kids and the importance of carrying on that heritage. And then also from Kevin's side, because Kevin has daughters that he takes out hunting, and then, you know, you've got kids as well. Give some tips maybe for those of us that may be, or those that may be going out the first time for first rifle season with a young person and how to do that. But
yeah,
let's just talk about the importance of carrying on that heritage at first.
This is something that's near and dear to my heart. I think we are going to shoot ourselves in the foot if we don't do this. If we don't intentionally do this and pass on our hunting heritage, these traditions, to the next generation. And it doesn't mean you're passing on the desire to kill.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Let's clarify that. What we're doing is we're passing on the love for the outdoors. And that begins with a pleasant experience, with a fun experience. If you put them in a situation where they're cold, they're tired, and they hate it, you're not doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So I take, first time I took my daughter, I think she was 7, the first time she sat in a turkey blind with me. I had a sleeping bag. I had a battery-operated DVD player with headphones. I had books, coloring books. I had all of this stuff.
And then
stuff.
What'd you bring for her?
Okay. Oh, I left myself open for that one. No, I wanted her to not be cold. I wanted her to get in a situation where she wasn't bored. And so what happened is she never, ever used the DVD player. Hmm. She ended up, of course, you know how a morning in Nebraska during turkey season starts. I've got it set up where the blind's near the roost or something like that. And all of a sudden you hear the, you know, the gobble. And then it starts to get light. And then they pitch out. And then, yeah. I mean, it was jam-packed action for the next 3 hours. She never looked at her DVD player. But I didn't want her sitting in there shivering. So she had a sleeping bag where she stayed warm. And she also was able to stand kind of behind me and see all the action unfold.
Right.
And then when she was done, we were done.
Right.
I didn't hunt my normal length.
Sure.
We got out and we went back. And then we went to where we were staying, the lodge, and we played. And then we went, they had a little fishing, little
pond.
Pond that, you know, you could catch bluegills, yep, with just a bare hook, really.
Right.
And she caught fish. And that, I think, is where it begins.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer because that's me. My dad didn't hunt, and my grandpa and my uncles did, and they took me. And, of course, my dad fostered that as he saw my love for it flourish. He did support that, but he's not a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my uncles. So I even encourage people, hey, you got a kid, loves to hunt, and they got a friend? Take that friend. Because once you get them hooked, it doesn't matter if they're your cousin, your nephew, your friend's friend, whatever. You get them hooked. That's another advocate for our hunting heritage that we can pass on.
Absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, because I hate it when I'm cold, wet.
Yeah.
Anything.
Right.
So, you know, you as the dad, don't go out there in all your Sitka gear and all your warm stuff and then put the kid in their tennis shoes and blue jeans.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right,
make sure you've got stuff, some snacks, different,
right,
things. Because, again, I think, you know, Red couldn't be with us today. But, you know, I know Red, his father was a big fisherman and, you know, metal boat. And Red, as a little kid, would make some noise. The dad would take him to the bank, get out, if you're going to be that noisy.
Well, yeah.
And Red's 65 years old now and doesn't like fishing,
right,
really, because of
that's
that.
That's exactly right.
You know?
Right, right.
So you got to take care. And, Kevin, you've been doing this for quite a while with three girls.
Right. So I think you're exactly right. And I think what's interesting, too, about those experiences is they bring up things that so many times as seasoned hunters, we're really there. I mean, we're enjoying the experience, but we also know the end game of what we're looking for. And we get so wrapped up in that we forget the whole process. And kids so oftentimes will bring up something or show you something, or you're looking at a microcosm of something that's going on near you that you wouldn't have right, had the experience of either. That is so cool. And and kids just love to have fun. I mean, I was talking with Scott off air. We went dove hunting this fall, and it was right after a cold front came through, and so the doves had moved on. And so we sat around for a couple hours and tried some different spots and walked to different places and things like that, and just enjoyed an hour or two in the morning. And then there weren't doves, so then we went and shot some trap, and we did some other things that they really had a great time with. I brought a couple of rifles along, so we shot some rifles relating to that, and that it turned into a great morning. We didn't
right,
shoot a dove.
Right.
I mean, we didn't shoot at a dove.
Mm-hmm. And being outside and being outdoors doesn't mean you're hunting or fishing specifically.
Right.
It could be taking a walk.
Right.
It could be, gathering, as you said, you know, those little unique trinkets that
yeah,
kids find and go, oh, look at this rock
right,
or whatever. So, yeah, but that's all part of it, and that's where we build upon. And I think that as you go through life, hunters go through phases, and it starts at a young age, and it ends. And where it ends as an older sportsman of many, many years is not far from where it began.
Right.
That this kid, it's not about the killing, it's about being outdoors. Well, you find a sportsman who's been hunting for 70 years, it ain't about the killing, it's about the experience. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of that, we try and find where we're at. We got to not forget where we need to start. And so, yeah.
I mean, it's the same way with fishing, because you're talking about the bluegills and things like that. You get any avid fisherman, and you take them out to where they're going to catch some big bluegill, they'll do it all day long.
Yeah.
And it's just funny because kids love that sort of thing. And that's how you get kids hooked on fishing, is the repetition.
Right.
And it's the same thing in seeing animals. You know, the first thing is seeing animals, getting the opportunity. And it's not the killing that the kids are concerned about, because quite frankly, some of that, just if they start doing it right away, it kind of scares them too.
Yeah.
That they're really concerned about that animal, especially in the environment that we're in, because what they learn in school about all these things.
The personification of animals in cartoons and stuff like that.
Right.
I can go on and on about that, but you know, it's still, the fact is, my daughter knows where my meat comes from.
Yeah.
And that's a special thing, and that's part of what we teach them throughout that journey. Don't start too early.
Right.
You don't want to force feed them.
Right.
But that's where it starts, getting them in the outdoors. And then as they grow, you ask my daughter about where our meat comes from. She doesn't say the store.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the respect that they have for it.
Yeah. I mean, the hard work that went into getting it. Yes. They understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of you, we can kind of discuss this too. Let's talk about, you know, let's say again, we're getting out there, first rifle on the 15th, season opens. And
you're really looking forward to it, aren't you?
Well, mine's second rifle, so I'm not looking to first rifle. I want time to hurry up and pass, though. But let's talk about, you know, having them the right equipment, whether it be archery, Trevin, or whether that be a rifle. I mean, probably don't want to give your 8-year-old your 300 Weatherby mag to shoot. You know what I mean?
Don't overgun them. I say the same thing with a bow, though. Don't overbow them.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be right. It's got to be fun. The bottom line is, if they enjoy shooting it off range, on the range, that's what you, then you've done your job.
Right.
If they cringe every time they know they're going to have to pull that trigger, the chances of them actually being successful, not that killing an animal's the epitome of success, but the opportunity to hit what you're aiming at, mm-hmm. and make an ethical, clean harvest, you can't overgun them.
Right.
Right.
So, and that's part of the fun, Kev. Like you said, it's, you know, that day you were out there,
right.
you guys just sat down and you just were shooting rifles and shotguns just having a good time.
Right. I mean, they're taking the .22 out and they had never shot anything with a scope, and they're like, wow, this is mm-hmm. really cool. And they had a great time doing it. And,
right.
And we're just plinking away with little, long,
right.
22 longs. And they, they were asking, well, what's the kick going to be like? And there was no kick.
Right.
So they were like, this is great.
Right.
You know, and they just like doing that sort of thing. The same thing can be said for shotguns, too, is make sure kids that the shotgun fits and that they understand how it works and everything, and that it's a pleasurable experience for them, because that definitely changes their perspective.
Well, we're in that fun time of year with waterfowl, full swing, duck season now, big game season here in Colorado. So main thing is get out and enjoy it. And again, take just a couple of these tips that hopefully can help your kiddos' experience be a lot more enjoyable, where they'll want to continue to do that again. So, Trevin, finishing up here, got a couple of minutes. What's coming up next? Some whitetail hunting, you said?
Got some whitetail hunting. I did draw a coos deer tag in New Mexico in January. And then we get into our show season. I'll be speaking at the ISC with you.
Yep, we're looking forward to that.
Here in Denver. And I've got the sports and boat show down in Colorado Springs in February, I believe.
Right.
I'll be speaking there. And
that
kind of starts my show season, if you will.
Right.
But I'm looking forward right now to just finish off the hunting season my daughter's softball season's in full swing too. So I'm going to be playing time from the field to the field, just different fields.
Right. You know, that brings up a good point too. And we got a couple minutes here. How do you balance all the different things with family? Most of us in this, just like me, I got other jobs I do besides just sportsman. You've got other job plus, doing your show and then you got a family. How do you balance all that?
Prayer.
lots of prayers.
I think my wife, in my family, my wife, I married way over my head, just like you guys did.
Okay? Right. Exactly.
Let's not lie here.
Very true.
All right. But my wife is the conduit that keeps everything going. Her understanding and support, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without it.
Sure.
And then the
None
fact
of us would.
The fact that my daughter really does she understands. Mm-hmm. Dad doesn't disappear, and she doesn't know where I go. They understand, and that's the support there. So, but I think it's all about communication. And when I'm home, I'm home.
Yeah,
right.
When I'm home, I try and be. I say that, and my wife will probably roll her eyes. But when I'm home, I try and be home and be available. And you know, I built a softball field in my backyard. They couldn't find a field to practice on in Windsor, so I just built one. And I brought in 100 tons of infield dirt. And we, you know, and so I just try and be present when I'm present.
Sure. Well, that's great.
I think that's a key.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Again, we want to thank Denny Behrens for being with us. Again, if you did not catch that, be sure and listen to our podcast. Denny is the regional director for Big Game Forever. You can check out their website, biggameforever.org. Check them out on Facebook at Big Game Forever Colorado on Facebook. Also, the Colorado Sportsman Make America Great. And this is where the Colorado Sportsman for Trump is in. And again, great information there. Outback Outdoors, Friday nights, 8 o'clock here in Colorado. Set your DVRs for that and watch that. And again, thanks for being with us. So, Trevin, thanks, bud.
You got it. It's always fun.
All right, Kevin, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us today for Sportsman of Colorado. Check out our new page as well, our new website, I should say, and that is sportsmanofcolorado.com. And now we have it where you can send us your pictures in for our bragging gallery. Now, they won't post immediately because I got to make sure what people send us we want to post, so they don't automatically upload. So if you do send us something, don't worry about it. We will get it, okay it, and then we will put that up there. So be sure and do that and give us a like on Facebook as well. So thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a great, great weekend.
And opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.